If you turn again to Psalm 124, one of the remarkable things about singing the Psalms is that there's a connection between us here in this building and also with the saints throughout the whole world who sing Psalms, and with all those in church history that have sung these same words. In these words that we sing first of all of the experience of the original author, in this case it's David, but we sing also of the experience of Israel, the covenant people of God. We sing of the experience of Christ in his life, and beyond that into the church, the New Testament church, both in Acts and in church history. And this psalm, which speaks to us of the deliverance that God provides for his people from many and diverse evils, this psalm has been used on countless occasions throughout history in order to praise God. And I think there's something special about that, about using these same words to praise God. I want to give you a few examples from church history. In the Scottish Reformation, in the year 1582, there was a faithful minister, John Drury, who was exiled from his parish. He was sent away. Why? Because he was faithful. He was faithful to the word. And so he was sent out, and his parish was kept vacant for the whole time that he was absent. But when, in God's grace, he was returned, despite the persecution he faced, almost being murdered, yet he was brought back to his parish in Edinburgh. And hundreds of people lined the streets. And what did they sing? Psalm 124. In fact, in the same words as we'll sing at the close of our service. In 1602, in Geneva, a Roman Catholic duke sought to take over the city of Geneva and to subject it to his rule. He desired the wealth and the status of that great city, but he would take it over to be a Catholic city. The Protestant inhabitants rebelled against him, fought hard, and the city was delivered by God's grace. And what did they sing? They sang Psalm 124 in a different language, but the same tune as we'll sing. In 1940, after the miracle of Dunkirk, when it looked like the British forces would be defeated by the Germans, and yet they escaped by the skin of their teeth, a thanksgiving service was held, and what psalm was sung? Psalm 124. And then at the end of the war, the British Parliament suddenly, spontaneously burst into the singing of Psalm 124, because the deliverance was from God. And in the Netherlands, when they were liberated from the Nazis, what did thousands of people go out in the streets to sing? Psalm 124. Yes, in Dutch. But the same psalm. Countless Christians throughout the history of the church have sung this psalm because they recognize that deliverance comes from God. And we are connected to them. We'll sing the same words, but in your mind and in your heart, you'll have other thoughts of deliverances that you have experienced to add to that great praise to God. The Lord has been so good to us. And if we could sum up the words of this psalm, we would agree with the Apostle Paul in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? But if you look at verse 1, that's not exactly the way the psalmist says it. Instead of saying, if or since God is for us, he asks the opposite question. What if God had not been for us? What if God were not on our side? Think of what Paul says again. If or since God is for us, who can be against us? But think of the opposite. What if God had not been for us? Who would have been against us? Everything, anything would be against us. David uses this vivid language of deliverance in order to get you thinking in your own heart of just how merciful God has been to you and to me. You see the various analogies here. Verse 2 and 3 speaks about men rising up against them in their wrath. And they would have swallowed up the people of God alive. It's not a case of killing them and then eating them up as some beasts do. No, it's swallowing them whole and alive, a quick and a sudden end, if the Lord had not been on their side. In verses 4 and 5, we have an equally vivid picture of the streams that enrage and come over the souls of the people of God. It doesn't seem perhaps like a great danger to us. Streams are not dangerous things. But if you think about Israel, a land which is dry and arid, if there's a heavy rainfall, those stream beds are going to quickly become torrents that sweep away anything and everything in their path. In fact, if you think about Deborah in the book of Judges, how did the Lord bring deliverance in the days of Deborah? Well, you read her song, and what do you see? It was through the rain coming down and the stream beds flowing of torrents that the enemy was defeated. It was a sudden danger to the people to have these streams flow against them. And so too the enemies were like flowing torrents that would overwhelm their soul and drown them. If God is for us, who can be against us? But if God is not for us, then we have a quick, complete, sudden, vicious, violent end. David, who writes this psalm, had many enemies. Predominantly in his day, the Philistines, but also other nations round about him. There was no peace in his days. Any moment these nations could come against him and try to defeat him. Often, as verse 3 tells us, their wrath was kindled against Israel. They looked at this small nation with a prized piece of land, and they were angry at it. And they were angry at their religion and at their God. Their wrath was kindled against it, and they sought to destroy it. And let's not have any doubts here. In the whole history of the people of Israel, if God had not been on their side, they would have been destroyed. Utterly destroyed. They were a small nation. They were a weak nation. If God had not stood on their side, if the Lord had not been a helper to Israel, they would have been utterly destroyed. And it's good also for us to reflect on this. Where would we be if the Lord were not on our side? And that's something for you to think about later on today. Personally, where would you be if the Lord God did not stand on your side to help you and deliver you? Think of David's enemies, the Philistines. And children, you know the story of David and Goliath. You know that big giant that stood against the people of God, and he shouted at God's people. He laughed at them. He mocked them. He ridiculed them. He threatened them. And they were all afraid. They were terrified of Goliath. But who went up to Goliath to fight him? Wasn't it David, the little boy, the shepherd boy? And David said this to Goliath, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." That was confidence. Everyone else in the armies of Israel were terrified. They would be completely destroyed by these Philistines. And David goes up and says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, and he will deliver us." If God were not with David at that point, what could this boy have done with stones and a sling against that giant with sword, spear, and javelin? What would this boy who couldn't even walk in the armor that Saul had provided, what could he do against this huge giant with armor all over? Well, the Lord was on his side, and the Lord delivered him. Not just him, but all of Israel. And there are countless other examples in the life of David where he has been delivered from all sorts of enemies. And so he writes Psalm 124. It's not merely one example of God's deliverance. It's countless examples, all brought together. Examples of having being almost swallowed alive, of almost having the waters over their soul, of almost being bitten as prey, and almost being trapped in a net as a bird. David writes Psalm 124 to remind Israel and to encourage Israel to remember that the Lord has delivered them. And that's why in verse 1, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. It's not pointless repetition. It's put there to emphasize this fact. David wants us to think, if the Lord had not been on our side, what then would have happened? And the first time he says it, it's like he hasn't quite got Israel's attention. And so he says it again. Let Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Think about it. Reflect on it. The Lord has been so good to us. Young people, one of the things you can do to help you think about this, and I suppose all of us can do it, how many examples can you think of in the Bible in which the people of God were delivered by the skin of their teeth? That they almost were destroyed by enemies, and yet the Lord delivered them. You could write a huge long list of all the times that Christian people in the Bible were saved despite fierce enemies. And I wonder, adults, how we could think of church history and how we could think of our own personal lives and the lives of other people and think of just the same thing, how the Lord has delivered us. I remember one particular occasion when there was an ungodly law going to be passed in our land, and yet at the last minute it was overturned. The law would have been a disaster for the church. It would have brought us into danger. It would have brought a snare around us, a net that would have engulfed us and held us in captivity. The bird got light. And mine and other people's minds went immediately to Psalm 124. It looked like we were going to be destroyed. The snare is broken. We've escaped away. Sometimes the position of the church looks so precarious. If we're honest and we examine the church in our own land, the Reformed Church in Scotland is weak. And sometimes it looks as if it's on the verge of extinction in certain parts. There are times that you go on holiday in Scotland, or even in the UK, and you don't know where to go to worship God. You can't find a church that preaches the Word of God. It's difficult. It looks sometimes like we're being wiped out, and we've got all these enemies against us. If the Lord were not on our side, then yes, the church would be destroyed. If the Lord did not stand by our right hand to defend us, the church would be gone. The church is weak. But Psalm 124 reminds us, since the Lord is on our side, he has delivered us. And that's why in verse 6, after reflecting upon the deliverance, he blesses the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Sometimes, of course, it is only just. It's a deliverance that looks as if we're almost destroyed, and at the last minute, we're brought back. And of course, that's to magnify God's grace. It shows exactly who he is. It's like this bird in verse 7. The fowler's snare entices it, and it looks as if the net has come in and trapped the bird, and all of a sudden, the net is broken. How? It's the Lord. The Lord God has broken the net, and the bird is able to fly out. How is the Lord able to do this? Well, verse 8 reminds us of the great fact that our help is in the name of the Lord. All the help that you need and all the help that you can find is in the name of God. And by that phrase, the name of the Lord, what it means is everything that is the Lord's, everything that is the Lord's character, that's what we go to. We need His grace. We need His mercy, His truth, His faithfulness. We need His holiness, His justice, and so on and so forth. And we need His power. And so we go to the name of the Lord, for He has all of these infinitely in His being. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And the one fact that David reminds us of to help us have confidence is that He made heaven and earth. Verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, in today's world, a belief that God has created heaven and earth is laughed at and is ridiculed. We're going to have to see what's going on politically now. You can say what you like about the Democratic Unionist Party, but one of the things that they're mocked for at this moment is that they're bigoted and narrow-minded. For one thing, they're creationists. And many of their MPs want creation to be taught in schools. That's the way the world looks at us. We believe that God created the world in 6 days, and all very good. And they say, you're a bigot, you're narrow-minded, you're old-fashioned. And they laugh at us, and they ridicule us. And they won't stop until we accept evolution and the Big Bang. They won't stop until we surrender the belief that the scriptures begin with. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what's the reason for this? Well, the evil one knows. If we deny the creation, even slightly, if we deny the fact that God has brought all that we can see into being, then our faith will be weak. David tells us that in all these near escapes, our faith must be in the one who made heaven and earth. If you don't believe He made heaven and earth, what will your faith be like? If you don't have confidence that He made all these things, then you'll be weak in the time of deliverance. And that's what the evil one wants. He wants to deny this fundamental fact so that our faith is so weak and we don't even believe the Lord is able to save us any longer. But rather, with Paul and the psalmist here, we confess that since God has made heaven and earth, and since He is for us, who then can be against us? This powerful God protects us. And we can think three P's that He has. The power of God protects us. The promise of God protects us. The presence of God protects us. He's the all-powerful God who's made heaven and earth. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. He's promised to protect us. And He's with us, Emmanuel, God with us. He's in our midst protecting us. The Lord is on our side. We shall not be moved. It is, of course, important for us to think about one more dimension to this. Why is the Lord on our side? Isaiah uses a title for God, which, if you pause and think about it for a moment, is quite striking. Isaiah often calls God the Holy One of Israel. You know that phrase. It appears often and often in Isaiah. But when you think about that, how can God, who is holy, with no sin, who hates sin, who is of purer eyes than to behold evil, how can this holy, innocent, pure one be of Israel, wicked, idolatrous, sinful? How can God, who is holy and just, unite His name with Israel that are sinners, transgressors, and wicked? It just doesn't seem to work. It doesn't seem right. But notice that the psalm does not say, because of our holiness, the Lord was on our side. It doesn't say, because of our righteousness, the Lord was on our side. Or because of our great love and faithfulness, the Lord was on our side. No, it just says, the Lord was on our side. The Holy One on the side of Israel. It's all of the free grace of God, that He chose people unfit, unworthy, unrighteous, and He unites Himself to them And he stands at their right side, protecting them. You see, the Holy One of Israel cannot leave Israel in their sin. He has to deal with the unholiness. In fact, all these deliverances, where we escape away as a bird out of the farthest snare, don't they all begin in our deliverance from sin itself? Isn't that the greatest enemy? There are enemies out there in the world. Many times we need delivered. But the biggest deliverance that you and I need is salvation for our sin. Because sin leads to death. Sure, certain death. Spiritual and physical and eternal. Forever and ever. Sin would indeed have swallowed us alive, as verse 3 says. Sin would chew you up and leave nothing behind. A quick and sudden end. Sin is like the waters of verses 4 and 5 that would drown your soul. How can you stand under the weight of sin? You can't. Sin comes and you transgress God's law, and there's guilt because you're sinning against the Holy One. And the waters come over your head and you can't stand. Sin is like the net. It's the snare of the fowler. There's something that looks enticing. And then we're brought into bondage. And the net has us trapped. And struggle as much as you want. Try to get out of your sin as much as you want. And the net just gets tighter around you. And you're condemned to death. If the Lord were not on our side, we would have been destroyed. How is the Lord on our side? Well, it's only through Christ. And that's why Paul continues, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God is for us, who can be against us? But have no doubt, it's through the fact that he did not spare his own son. God is not for us in any other way. If we have no interest in Christ, if we have no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's not for us. It's the fact that he has not spared his son, but offered him to you freely in the gospel. And he says, come to him, believe in him, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and what? You shall be saved. You'll be saved because he'll stand on your side. But if you don't, there's no salvation for you. How shall you escape if you neglect such a great salvation? How shall you escape away unless the Lord's on your side? You can't. It's only by the Son who was not spared that we escape away, like the bird out of the farthest snare. It's only by the Son who was not spared that the waters don't flood over our soul and destroy us. It's only by the Son not spared that we're not swallowed up alive and die in our sin. So we have that choice before us. We can have friendship with the world, which is enmity with God. We can be on the side of the world and its evil and its wickedness. And the Lord will be against us. There's no doubt about that. Or we can choose friendship with God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the world presents to us that easy life. And Christ presents to us a life of difficulty, like Israel, that was constantly the focus of attacks. You choose Christ, you'll be attacked, all right. But the Lord will be on your side. It's interesting, of course, that these psalms were used for the pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. And for those of us in Christ, as we're going towards that city whose foundations are of God, that spiritual, eternal city, as we're going on our way through this life to our citizenship, which is in heaven, that we have this psalm to reflect on. That the Lord is on our side. He will help us through all the dangers along the way. He will deliver us, no matter how often you think, this is the time that I won't be delivered. No, the deliverance will still come, because the Lord is on your side. On the day of judgment, We can look back at church history and we can see there were many organizations in the world, many political parties even, many different organizations that people have given their time to. But there will only be one that has survived the test of time. There will only be one that is delivered right through to that final day. And it's the church, the pilgrim people of God. And on that day, they'll look back and maybe think on these words: if the Lord had not been on our side, where would we have been? But He is. He stands, ever true, ever faithful, on our side because of the Son who was not spared. And so our response must be verse 6. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Today we rejoice. We take time to think on all the deliverances we've experienced personally, corporately, the experiences of salvation that we share through church history and throughout the world. There are deliverances as well if we're in Christ. But after reflecting on these things, verse 6 is our praise. Blessed be the Lord. May God grant us the grace that all of us might worship Him because of His great salvation. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this truth in Your Scriptures. We need You to be our helper. We need You on our right hand. There's nothing that's able to protect us from our own sin, from our own selves, from the sin of other people. Lord God, there's nothing that can protect us from the dangers of this life. But You alone, You're able to save us. And we praise You that since You're for us, who can be against us? But Lord, that's only the Christians who can say that. It's only those of new hearts, those who believe. And so we plead with You that You would bring many more people into Your church, that You would be on their side, that You would deliver them from the great, subtle snare of the filer, of their sin, of the evil one roaring around like a lion. Lord God, save, we pray. And magnify Your name as You add to the church those who say these same words: blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Lord, we worship You for it. In Christ's name, amen. We'll sing in Psalm 124, the second version. I do think it's special that this psalm, these words and the tune have been with us since the 1500s. And countless numbers of Christians have sung of the Lord's deliverance using these exact words. And we are connected to them by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we praise Him. Psalm 124, the second version. Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.